do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? These are the big questions. They're big theological questions. They are the stuff of religion and ethics and philosophy. Generations before us have asked these questions, and generations after us will also ask them. Ultimately, they are unanswerable and unsolvable, though that doesn't stop us from trying, right? So why do we keep asking these questions? These questions that can't be truly answered and can't be solved. Well, we ask them because we have consciousness, because it's part of our human nature to ask. Our minds work that way. We are curious about the world and about how the world works. The questions that we ask focus our attention. And just by asking the questions, we begin to discover what matters to us. Have you found this? You start to ask a question and you reflect on it, and you begin to seek out and find some answers. This gives us a framework for making sense of our lives. And as we begin to gather information and experience, as we begin to do some research, to reflect, we come to have some insights. And we also develop the courage and the ethics that we need to begin to live more purposefully, more meaningfully, more justly, more joyfully, too, in our time here on the earth. Absolute answers to these questions and so many others are just not possible. Though, of course, we know there have been efforts to make it appear as though it is possible, as though we could arrive at final answers to these questions. And too often, religion has tried to develop final, permanent answers. In other words, religious doctrines, whether they are doctrines of original sin, predestination, an all-powerful God, an all-loving God, or the existence or non-existence of God at all, these get established as fixed and as absolute. And the point here isn't whether we personally agree about any of those ideas. The point here has to do with whether these ideas, these theologies, the answers to these big questions get held too tightly, too rigidly. That isn't how we Unitarian Universalists do religion. Thank God. Thank the goddess, the universe, whoever you would like to thank. We certainly offer answers to these questions. And we also offer a context in which to understand the world and existence. But we acknowledge that the answers we come to are partial and provisional. And sometimes we sound pretty sure of ourselves, right? Sometimes we forget that our answers are partial and provisional. But the thing is, for us, revelation is not sealed. This is so important. This is why we build in to the way we do religion the ability to evolve our beliefs, to change our minds about what we know. As new experience and new knowledge is acquired, whether it's our own personal experience and knowledge or whether it's the knowledge that comes to us through science and from others, Unitarian Universalism evolves and changes. And we build in respect for a plurality of answers because of this. We don't have just one answer to these questions. There are some answers that we have, as a religion, agreed are, we might say, better than some other answers. We might not say they're the only answers, but we might say that for us they are more satisfying, more meaningful, more just, more humane, more loving, more life-affirming answers. Our Unitarian Universalist principles point to some of these answers. Our first principle affirms the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Just imagine the kinds of questions that people were asking that led them to make that statement, to led us collectively as a religion to make that statement. This principle offers answers to questions like, what is the view of human nature? Are humans born sinful, blessed, tabula rasa, which means blank slate, or something else? How shall we treat other people? What is the value of human life? What position shall we take on torture? Our seventh principle affirms respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. This principle offers answers to questions like, what is the relationship among all people? What is the relationship of people to the rest of creation? Are people part of creation or separate from it? What are the consequences of our actions and the actions of others in relation to the planet and the cosmos? What do we owe each other? What do we owe the environment? How shall we treat the environment? That simple, seemingly simple, deceptively simple seventh principle that affirms respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are all a part is a way at offering answers to those questions. Because Revelation is not sealed, our principles evolve over time, and so we are in the process of adding an eighth principle. Some of you have heard me talk about this before. Some of you have read about it. This eighth principle that is being proposed affirms the journey to wholeness, diversity, and multiculturalism through the dismantling of racism and oppressions. This principle strives to address questions like these. How can we create awareness and accountability for systemic oppression? How has the history of racism and slavery impacted our spiritual wholeness? What does it mean to be a beloved community? I mean, I use those words all the time, and I hear others here use them too. What do we mean when we say that? How is anti-racism, anti-oppression work spiritual work? How can we heal the brokenness in our Unitarian Universalist congregations and in our nation? Each one of our principles, the seven that we've currently agreed to as a denomination, and the eighth, which we hope soon to agree to as a denomination, they suggest answers to an array of big questions. These answers we arrive at are not meant to be an intellectual exercise. I mean, I love intellectual exercises. You probably all know that. I love to just use my brain. I think it's really fun. But it's not just about that. These principles, these beliefs, these answers partial and provisional as they are, that we come to, are meant to help us live our lives better. They're meant to help guide us in our daily lives, in making sense of our lives. They're meant to give us courage, meaning, joy. They're also meant to help us continue to ask questions, to ask good questions that lead us on to ask yet more questions and to live yet fuller, richer lives. And today, I invite each of you to consider for yourselves one big question that you have been asking yourself. Maybe your big question is really a small, meaningful question. Sometimes those small questions turn out to be the biggest ones of all. But what is a question that you've been living with, living into, asking, wondering about, struggling with?
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.